I was told since it's the Super Bowl Sunday, I was supposed to pull a Calvin Slaybach and just stand up here and stare at you for about 5 minutes before I start speaking. I was also told several other things like, hurry up, I hope he doesn't preach too long, and things of that nature. But I will just present to you what I've prepared, and hopefully it will not offend you in time. But that said, I want to thank you all for giving me this opportunity to teach you and to preach you this morning, or this afternoon. I'm a little nervous, but I wasn't nervous before I got up here until my wife looked at me and said, good luck. And it's like, you guys know me and I know you, but this pulpit up here is so much different than the one that's down there on Sundays. But we'll ask that you please be patient with me. I hope everything that I've studied is going to be scriptural. If I say anything that you do not understand or have any question about, please come see me. If I have said any error whatsoever, please, I expect you to come to me and show me the error of my ways. But again, I want to thank the elders for giving me this opportunity this evening to preach to you. The subject tonight is study. And this is something that I sort of struggled with early on as a younger Christian, the understanding of how important study was. And of course, study is. And oftentimes, after we become Christians, the fire that we had at once seems to diminish. And we become stagnant. And it's either because we forget what Christ has done with us, because if we ever get to the point where we are bored with worship, or if we ever get to the point where we don't appreciate the things that we have every single day, that's basically what we've done, is we've forgotten what Jesus and what God has done for us. And we have to be reminded of that. But of course, to do that, and to also maybe shy away from forgetting about the things that God has done for us, is to study. And we're going to talk a little bit about how important it is to do that. We allow sometimes other activities to creep in and take up our time for study. And we have a tendency to basically say, oh, I study. I come to Sunday morning study Bible class, and I come to Wednesday evening Bible class, and so I study. Or we'll say some things like, oh, I read my Bible every day, which I'm not saying that reading your Bible every day is not a good thing. As a matter of fact, it's a very good thing. It's something that all of us should be doing on a daily basis. But what I'm basically saying is reading your Bible every day is not enough, and that's just all there is to it. The Bible classes on Sunday morning and on Wednesday evenings are not enough, and we're going to get into the reason for that. Consider this. If you would, please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we'll read verse 15. All the scriptures this evening that I'll be reading to you are from the New American Standard Version. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. The phrase or the couple words I want to key on in that verse is accurately handling. Well, how does one accurately handle the word of truth? Is it something that we can just read every single day and truly have the understanding and be able to accurately handle? We'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. Also, if you would, please turn to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, and we'll be reading verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This, of course, is Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. It was originally recorded in Jeremiah 31, 33. But that said, the key part I want to focus in this particular scripture is, I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them on their hearts. If reading our Bible every day is the only thing that we do, how is it that His Word, the law, is going to be written in our minds and on our hearts? Again, we'll talk about that in a moment. At one time, a true Christian was referred to as a walking Bible. And I'd like to just pose a question to everyone here, and I want to say, can that be said of this generation today? When people look at us and even talk with us, or when we have discussions with people, do people have in their mind, wow, this person is a walking Bible. They know their Bible in and out. And I will ask you if reading your Bible every day is going to get you to that point. They were known as walking Bibles, and the time was spent checking and learning the scriptures and applying it to their lives back then. And again, I ask again, can it be said about this generation? Do we answer Bible questions sometimes with phrases like, doesn't the Bible somewhere say like this, and that? Or, I thought I read one time where the Bible said something like this. As opposed to, I believe being the good, studious Christian should say, that scripture is found in this book, this chapter, this verse, and this is what that particular scripture says. What kind of examples are we as Christians if when we talk to others, we have no idea what the Bible says, or even where to find the answers to their questions, let alone the answers to the questions that we have? And of course, we're here together to help each other in this life learn these things. And of course, you know, Sunday morning Bible class is fantastic. Wednesday evening Bible class is fantastic. But that is not enough. We need our own personal study time. If you would please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I'm going to read verse 1. Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. Of course, Paul is the one who wrote this to the church at Corinth. And again, he says, be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. Ultimately, we are to imitate Paul when he or if he is imitating Christ. Ultimately, imitating Christ. How can we imitate Christ? Well, let's examine a couple of scriptures. If you would, please turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and we'll read verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word, where the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, if you would drop down to verse 14. Did I say Luke?
Yes.
Okay. Is that right? John. Yeah, I meant John. I was just testing you. Good job. It's actually Luke chapter 1, verse 14. John, good job. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as if the only begotten from the Father, full of grace. We know that the Word here is capitalized, okay? The word here is capitalized. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Word. Christ is the Word, and we must imitate Christ. Therefore, studying the revealed Word is to study Christ. Imitating the Word is imitating Christ. Jesus is the Word in every meaning of the sense. He was the action of the Word. He was the desire for the Word, and he was the speech of the Word. And we'll read some scriptures pertaining to that as well. If we are not studying to see the example of Christ, and we are not studying to apply the example of Jesus, how are we Christians at all? If we are emulating Christ, we must be the living Word, just as Christ is the living Word. Let's briefly go over a couple of points as far as studying is concerned. First and foremost, we need to study to change our thinking. When we became Christians, the previous man, the previous woman, died, and we were renewed in Christ. Please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away. Behold, new things have come. We are to be spiritually minded. Turn to John chapter 4, verse 24. John chapter 4, verse 24. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We are also to be holy. Please turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And originally it was written in Leviticus 11:45. To change our thinking to become spiritually minded and to be holy, can we consult the world for this knowledge? Can we ask the world's advice to get this type of frame of mind? Can we change the way we think from getting this information from the world? We all know the answer to that, and the answer is no. Please turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and we'll read verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. We see clearly here that we cannot be conformed to this world, but we have to be conformed to what God has us to say. So that answers the question right there. We cannot look to the world for this type of spirituality or holiness. Let's also take a look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and I'll be reading verses 20 through 24. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you being renewed in the spirit of your mind, you put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness and of truth. We see here that hearing of him, Jesus Christ, having been taught of him, Jesus Christ, the truth that is in Jesus Christ, that is how we gain this spirituality, this holiness, this frame of mind that we need. The only way we're going to get this is through study. It'd be nice if there was a such thing as an osmosis with books so we can put a book under our head at night and in the morning know everything there is to know, but it doesn't work that way. If you would, please turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to read verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is any worth of praise, dwell on these things. Not only are we studying to gain the knowledge within, to become that spiritually minded person, become that holy person, because of course God is holy, we need to dwell upon things that are pure and holy and lovely and of good report. We need to do all of these things because once we start mingling with things that are not listed here, that holiness and spirituality starts to go away. It takes up the place where that spirituality and the holiness needs to be. If you would, please turn to Matthew chapter 15. These next set of verses are going to sort of touch on what we're talking about now, changing the way we think through our study, but it's going to then go into the next point of study. Matthew chapter 15, we're going to start in verse 10. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. It is not what enters into the mouth that defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth, this defiles the man." If we drop back down to verse 18, "But the things that proceedeth out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulterers, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hand does not defile the man." So we see our hearts need to be pure, because if they're not, it's going to be shown through our speech, the things that we say. And of course, we're going to be defiled by the things that we say, which leads to the next point. We need to change our speech by the way, or by studying. If you would, please turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And of course, we are familiar with this set of passages. This is where Jesus has been taken up by the Spirit to be tempted. And every single time, the devil comes to him and tempts him, okay? What does Jesus say in rebuttal to that temptation? "It is written." And he quotes Scripture. How can we do that if we don't know what the Scripture says? Reading alone is not going to give us that knowledge, that memorization, if you will, of that Scripture. We need to study. Study the points thoroughly and apply it to our hearts and our minds, written on our hearts, just as God said he wanted for his people in the Scriptures. Let's also take a look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and we'll read verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. How can we do all things, which that includes everything, by the way? If we are going to do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus, we need to do it the right way, because Jesus said himself that not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. There will be people in the last day who say, Lord, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do this in your name? And he's not going to accept them because they didn't obey his commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. We need to know those commandments, not just read them. We need to study them. Commit them to memory. If you would, please turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. For the one who desires life to love and to see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. As we've seen earlier, if we are taking in all these things that are nasty, disgusting, the things of this world, ultimately it's going to come out of our mouths. But if we are focusing and meditating on the scriptures, those things of love and to see good days, that we desire life, those things are what is going to proceed out of our mouths. We also study to change our desires. As I've said in a class, I guess not too long ago, a lot of times when you talk to folks, it said the requirements of being a Christian are just way too hard. God doesn't allow me to do this, and I can't do this, and it's just, I mean, well, it's not about you. God gave us life. He knows what's best for us, and he's told us what he's wanted, what he wants us to do. We have to train our minds, train ourselves not to desire those things that are sinful. The only way to do that is through our study. If you would, please turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 17 is what I'll be reading. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these two are opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. The Scripture just plainly saying, you can't do whatever you want. Christ purchased us with his blood. We belong to him in all manner of respect. That said, we cannot do what we want. My children do not have the free will to do whatever they want. Sometimes they think they do, but we swiftly remind them that they are not their own. They belong to us, and it's the same relationship with us and God. When we become Christians, we are purchased, and we are servants of Christ. He tells us what to do. We cannot do what we please. We need to change what we desire to do. Let's also take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to read verse 22. Now flee from youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, who those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. So here's the deal. When we come into these temptations, because just because we study and just because we fill our minds with what is good doesn't necessarily mean that these things aren't going to crop up from time to time. Christ was tempted by the devil. We will be as well. However, Christ said at the very end, get thee behind me, Satan. Get away from me. Flee from me. And of course, we are told that if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. We need to flee from our youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. We also need to study to change our actions. If we want to look like Christ, we have to imitate Christ, as what we've already read. But also, let's turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. And we'll read verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. There's a lot going on in this verse, and an entire sermon can be preached on this particular verse, but we want to focus on the fact that we are not living for ourselves. We are not going to do what we want. We are going to do what Christ wants us to do because he died for us, purchased us. He loved us so much, and he's shown us that. Why wouldn't we? We need to study to teach. And this is extremely important because, again, if we don't know what the Scripture says, how in the world could we fulfill the commandment to go out and preach the gospel to every creature? Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And we'll read verses 19 through 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That is not just for the apostles, because it's also said in here, teaching them all the things that I have commanded you. Well, they were just commanded to teach the gospel to everyone, and so that is our responsibility as well. If we don't know the answers to our own internal questions because we are not studying, how are we expected to teach others? Let's also take a look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And we'll read verse 14. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him who they have not heard? And how will they hear him without a preacher? It is our responsibility to study to teach. And let me tell you, studying for your own answering of questions is a lot easier than studying to teach. And I tell you, when you truly study to teach, you learn a whole lot more than that's probably what's coming out of your mouth to teach someone else. But that's a good thing. That's a good thing. You know, you hear oftentimes, well, I'm a new Christian. I don't know enough to teach somebody. Or, oh, well, I just don't have the time. These are just basically just excuses. Because that means we're not setting up our proper priorities straight. We need to ask God for wisdom. And we see that King Solomon did. And I actually want to read this because this is a prayer that all of us should pray on a daily basis. Let's turn to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2, and I'm going to start in verse 6. That would be 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3, starting in verse 6. Then Solomon said, "You have shown great loving kindness to your servant David, my father, according as he has walked before you in truth and righteousness and uprightness of heart toward you. And you have reserved for him this great loving kindness that you have given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in the place of my father David, yet I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. Your servant is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people who are too many to be numbered or counted. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" Look at the humility that this little child, as he calls himself, has. Never does he say, "my kingdom" or "my people." He always refers to it as God's people, God's kingdom. He always refers to himself as the king, his servant, the Lord's servant. There is no reason why we could not pray this same prayer today. As a matter of fact, we should. Let's also take a look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1, and we'll read verse 5. "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all generously and without reproach, and it will be given him." When we study, not only are we studying for ourselves, but we are studying, gearing up for that commandment of teaching others. And that said, we need to ask for the wisdom that comes from studying, the understanding. It is a requirement. I will ask at this time what our priorities are. The bottom line to this lesson is this. If all we're doing is reading our Bible every day, I'm telling you right now, it's not enough. And if you have a problem with that, you can see me afterward and I will continue studying this with you, because we cannot adequately understand the Scriptures by just reading our Scriptures on a daily basis. We need to study and take this into our minds and write it on our minds and our hearts, period. We must rectify the gross negligence that we have had, and I'm including myself, in our own studies. TV is not important. Reading a book other than the Bible is not important. Period. Christianity is life. It is not a club. It's not some place we come to pay dues and show up to a couple of services and we've fulfilled our membership. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." To know his commandments, we must study. You can study, though, and not understand the word. We need to always be mindful of that. We can take a look at the Jews. They studied and outwardly showed that they knew the Old Testament, but they did not have it in their hearts as God intended. It is truly a privilege to be able to have the Scriptures. The first century Christians did not have all that we have right now. It had taken time to compile these Scriptures, and we have the luxury of having them freely and openly. That said, though, we need to not have a haughty attitude when we go to someone. If we do become extremely learned in the Scriptures, let's also remember that there is always more to learn and that we need to appear humble to those who we are teaching. And in order to do that, that also takes study and our practice as well. I love to get old Bibles from my grandfather. He's a preacher, and he wears them bad boys out. I mean, the edges are dark brown from the oils from his fingers. They're written all through. Pages are coming out, torn and ripped. He replaces his Bible every year and a half to 2 years. There is no reason why we should not be the same way. If we're studying our Bibles, those Bibles are going to get messed up. But guess what? We live in a country that's free enough where we can go out and buy one cheaply. They're always available. And if you can't afford a Bible, talk to me and we'll get you one. This is a lesson that I needed. And I'm sure I'm not alone, that a lot of us need this particular lesson. Studying is important. We are not Christians unless we study and apply what we study. But that said, if there's any in this audience at this time who are not Christians, the requirements are to hear and to believe what you have heard. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You have sinned. All of us have sinned. All of us are in need of the blood of Jesus Christ. It was his sacrifice that has given us the opportunity to partake into that relationship with God once again. If you believe that and you are willing to confess Jesus Christ and repent from your sins, you can be baptized into his body, and there's no better place to be. For after this life, we're going to be judged and be rest assured that all are going to bow before Christ when it's over. But you want to bow before Christ and you want him to say to you basically, "Come with me, servant. I know who you are." But you do not want to be the one he looks at you and says, "I do not know who you are." For those of us who are Christians and we sin from time to time, if you would like their prayers on your behalf from the congregation, we are definitely willing to do so. If you need help in your life in any way, shape, or form, all of us are here for you. I look out among you and I see my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I thank you so much for that privilege. And I need you as well as you need me. The Bible said so. If you're subject to this invitation, please do so. Stand while we sing.